Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski. Kevin, thanks for giving us a couple minutes.
Hey, gentlemen. Good afternoon. How are we doing?
We're good. Before you came on, I was just thinking about whether or not, you know, it's been a long time since you had your first press conference where you debated East versus West Side and was trying to get the lay of the land. It feels like forever ago. And you had such success last year. Was there at any point, you know, winning coach of the year, playoff victory game, was there any point where you thought to yourself, this is even better than I ever could have dreamed?
I don't think so. I mean, I think all of us have really, really high expectations of our team, of ourselves. I think if you're in this business, you're in it to play to the final game. And when you don't, you feel like you fell short. So that's kind of where my mindset is. I know our team feels the same way. We have high expectations of ourselves, and we want ultimately to be one of those last two teams standing. Until that happens, we got a lot of work to do, and then that's what we're working on right now, coming off of some of these meetings we've had this afternoon already.
So it's safe to say you're not satisfied based off of last year.
I wish there were better words to say that. Yes, not satisfied. No, the guys, and I'm not speaking for myself. I'm speaking. I think all the guys would tell you that. I don't think you look back and you say, we're proud of the things we accomplished. I don't want our fans not to be proud of what was accomplished, but you also need to turn the page and be realistic of what's next.
No, I love that. Like, there's some meat still on the bone. There's something that you can still go to. I think it's so amazing the job that you've been able to do in 1 year. And part of what's so amazing about that is just how good you got Baker Mayfield to be in a very short amount of time. I know you're going to give Alex Van Pelt a lot of credit on that as well. But did you sit back at any point, week 10, week 11, and say, this is working exactly how we drew it up?
I think, well, the credit goes to Baker. I really believe that. Our players are self-motivated. They want to get better. And I think we have a bunch of teachers in this building. You mentioned Alex Van Pelt. I think we have teachers in this building that will help our guys get better. So what we did know about our team, we certainly knew about our offense. Without that offseason last year, we felt like it was going to be a work in progress, but a work that was getting better. So we saw signs offensively, defensively, of our team continuing to get better. I've mentioned it many times, and I think it was true, that bye week, we were very fortunate to have it right smack in the middle of the season after, played eight games, had a bye. It allowed us to reassess, and we made some adjustments going into the final stretch, and I think you saw our offense, defense get better. That's kind of how we see this offseason. We pulled this thing apart, countless meetings of pulling it apart, honest meetings with each other, and now we got to put it back together. And the goal is to get better. And how do we do that? It's as all of us, it's myself trying to get better. Obviously, you bring in players via the draft, via free agency. But that's our mindset, is we have to get better. We have to improve.
We're talking with Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski. Coach, have you allowed yourself to enjoy what you guys accomplished last season at all? I mean, do you take some time at all during the offseason? Because what you did, and I know Jonathan asked you about the quick rise and how things, and I know you like to poo-poo it and downplay it, which is, I think, why you're successful. But did you take some time at least to enjoy what you accomplished? Because although you didn't reach every goal, because obviously the goal is to win the Super Bowl, what you did for this team in this town in this short period of time is quite the accomplishment, I think.
Yeah, I don't... I know how this sounds, so I'm trying not to give you coach speak.
Yeah.
You know, listen, we won 11 games. We finished third in our division. We won a playoff game. We lost a playoff game. So
yeah.
I guess I'm very realistic about it.
Okay.
Do I spend time reflecting on the season? Of course. Yeah. I mean, I've spent many days, especially after the season ends. It's pretty, as you guys know, it's final and there's a lot going on. So you give yourself a couple weeks to look back, but you go back and you, that's where that process of watching all the tape offensively, defensively, special teams gives you proper perspective on what was accomplished. So again, we achieved some goals, but to say we achieved all of them wouldn't be fair. So that's where mindset is such a big deal for us in this building about improving. And I respectfully, I've turned the page to 2021, and I think our guys are ready to do the same.
I get it. And the reality is the expectations change. That doesn't matter for you guys necessarily, but like right now as a fan base in Cleveland, as media in Cleveland, it's like, oh my God, the Browns made the playoffs. Oh my God, the Browns won a playoff game. From our perspective, it's like, what an accomplishment, right? But 3 years from now, if you guys don't go any further than you've been, we're going to be like, what's the matter with Kevin Stefanski? How come he can't get him past this second round of the playoffs? So I get that. But, you know, you talked about overall, you know, this last year you guys spent a lot of the offseason making changes to the offense. This year, I mean, such an overhaul to the defense. We look at it on paper, for whatever that's worth, Coach, and it looks much improved. But I've been saying that, like, hey, you guys got a lot more talent, I think, on defense, but there's a lot of new faces. And so I think it's going to take time to get to gel together. I think your defense in particular will probably look a lot better second half of the season than the first half because there's so many new guys. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I think it really remains to be seen once we – you know, start getting the guys in the building and teaching our schemes and start playing preseason games. You learn so much about yourself. I'll tell you, I take myself back to last year. We were teaching a new offense to all the players. We were teaching a new defense to all the players. It was a new coaching staff. So as coaches, we were getting to know each other. So I think that the good news is obviously there's continuity on offense, which we're excited about. On defense, there is continuity among the staff, which I think is important. And then there are guys returning. It's not like we you know, aren't bringing anybody back. So there's plenty of guys returning. I think this offseason and our meetings and once we start to teach our system, I do think that the guys – I think the thing we need to do quickly as a coaching staff is find out what our guys do best. And that just takes time of being around the guys again, getting through that preseason, understanding roles. But I do feel confident – in bringing all the coaches back to help teach and reteach those systems.
Yeah, some of that was amazing just going through the draft this past weekend was the key word, the buzzword seemed to be versatility. You know, both linebackers are like Swiss Army knives. Hudson, you want to take from a left tackle to cross-train a guard. Anthony Schwartz, the quote-unquote receiver, was a better running back when he was at Auburn. Dimitri Felton, like on and on the list goes. Is that – I'm assuming that's not just an Andrew Berry philosophy, but you got to be – chomping at the bit to get your hands on some of these guys that can do so many different things.
I think we are. I don't think we set out specifically to say every single player has to be versatile. We were fortunate in the guys that we identified, I think, can do multiple things. You know, it's the classic, the more you can do. And we want to find roles for these guys. So, you know, you mentioned a bunch of them. We'll see what they can handle. We'll see as we teach and explain some of our systems, see what they can grasp, and then you see them move around, and then you grow roles. And I think one of the things I've learned over the years with rookies is the guy you get week one is not necessarily going to be the guy you get week 8 and week 16. So the guys are going to grow, and that's our jobs to make sure that we don't give them too much too soon. We got to make sure that they earn their roles. But I think it always helps you as a prospect, as a player, if you can do – more than one thing, that allows us as coaches to find a home for you.
We're talking with the NFL Head Coach of the Year, Kevin Stefanski, the Browns Head Coach on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Coach, you guys, both you and Andrew Berry, have often used the term, and I like it a lot, I use it a lot now here, smart, tough, and accountable when it comes to this team. And I look at some of the guys you brought in on the defense, John Johnson, who you got from the Rams, and Troy Hill, Greg Newsome, We were talking to Pat Fitzgerald, I think it was Friday, we had Pat Fitzgerald on, and I mentioned to him smart, tough, accountable, and he said, yeah, that about sums up Greg Newsom. Anthony Walker, who his teammates when he signed with the Browns were going bananas about how big a loss he is for Indy because what a guy he is. It seems like you really took that with some of your key draft picks and free agent signings to heart, smart, tough, accountable with those guys.
Yeah, that was something that Andrew and I and our ownership and Paul, we talked about that last year. And I think that was true last year also. If you go back and look at the draft picks, look at the free agents, look at, you know, we traded for Andy Janovich. I mean, the type of people that we're bringing in is important. As we set out for this offseason and then this player acquisition cycle, it's always important. That's us building that locker room and building a bunch, a group of guys that understand how we win. So that's a big part of it. I think we know that the more guys you add that are like-minded in that regard, then when you hit those bumps in the road, which are inevitably coming in a season, you know you got the right people to fight through those things.
Got to ask you about like an in-game conversation because I feel like it's going to be on the heels of this upcoming year. You have a 17th game, so you're adding one more on. Are you going to then, in blowout games or games that maybe aren't as close, are you going to pull back some of the players and maybe rest them a little bit more, some of the starters, and just kind of go through the games that way with the idea that you have more games of the season and then you want to make sure everyone gets the postseason healthy?
Yeah, it's certainly something to consider. You know, the way I'm looking at it is it's 65 more reps for some players, and we got to be smart about how we practice. We got to be smart maybe in some of those situations that you mentioned. We got to find 65 reps to take off of them. So that's definitely front of mind for me as we prepare our training camp schedule, how we operate. Because 17 games, you know, you add one more, and I know it just sounds like, hey, it's just 65 plays, but everybody has seen it's sometimes a war of attrition by the end of the year. So we got to be smart about that, and that's something we are talking about right now.
We're talking with Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski. Coach, I have said on this show a lot of times, and you're going to tell, hopefully you'll tell me if I'm actually right when I'm saying this, that you and Andrew Berry and are guys who are cut from the same cloth. And when I say that, you know, I don't mean that you agree on everything, because obviously you don't, but I think you both have the kind of same philosophy about how to win, and I think that's something that's good teams have and bad teams don't. I think that's important. Is that accurate to say?
Well, I mean, I hope we're, you know, I think we share a vision. That's definitely for sure. We challenge each other. In terms of cut from the same cloth, yeah, I mean, he was a defensive back in college, and the difference being he was actually good. Like, Andrew was a player. I think people should realize, like, he was actually a good football player. He had a cup of coffee in the NFL. So that's, I think, where the main difference would lie.
You know, Kevin, I'm curious. During the draft process, I know it's different from every coach. What's it like from your perspective? Like, what are you doing in terms of leading up to the draft, draft night? Like, what is your involvement as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, I'm just here for moral support.
Is that true? Is that really true? That's not true,
no.
Is it?
I'm involved. Obviously, Andrew sets out, and he is very, very collaborative. He listens. He wants to hear opinions. So I give him my perspective, and here's what I see from my chair, and you know, I evaluate the guys, and I don't evaluate all of them. I don't want to ever turn into a scout, but the list of guys he gives me, which are, you know, typically positions that we're targeting in the first few rounds, I'm going to give him my honest opinion, and then I'm going to jump in and ask questions, and I think, and then as the draft rolls around, I think it's a very interesting couple days where you got the Zoom call going. And then you got phone calls on the side, and you're popping into offices. And I just think communication is so, so important. And that's, I was so impressed with, again, Andrew and his crew. You know, it's just a really, it's an impressive group when you're 15 picks out, then you're 10 picks out, you're 5 picks out, just hearing the conversations that are going on. Everybody knows their role. Everybody, you know, we got the guys who are looking at the trades potential and running those. And I just think it's Andrew at the front of that with his style is able to pull all that together, and I thought he operated, you know, I think he runs that draft, if, and this shouldn't shock anybody, but he does it at a high level because he's such a great communicator.
Kevin, looks like this upcoming schedule is going to be a lot tougher than last year's in a lot of ways. But you're taking on the Packers, you're taking on the Chiefs. Like, you have a lot of real tough games, and you got a brand new defense. You could potentially have 9 different new starters on the defensive side of the ball. When the schedule comes out, are you going to be wishing for to play those teams early, to play those teams late? Like, what do you see that way with a new defense, or does it not really matter?
You know, I think when the schedule comes out, all of us look at it, and the way we feel about it the day it comes out is completely different when you go back and look after the season. Games that you thought were hard weren't, and games that you thought weren't going to be hard were. You know, it's just you don't know. I know this. I've never looked at the schedule and said, man, we got an easy schedule. They're always hard. It's the NFL. There's 32 competitive teams. The way the league is set up is to set it up and have parity. So it's going to be challenging whenever we play these teams. And I know we got a bunch of good ones out there. But the fun part when you look at that schedule is typically as a coach, you look at how many back-to-back on the road, where is that bye week. Those are the type of things you're looking at as opposed to the opponent, because things just seem to change from May to, say, December.
Coach, when you guys as an organization are drafting a guy like James Hudson, who is, you know, just recently transitioned to the offensive line, or drafting a guy like Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, who, you know, may not, like, some coaching staff might say, like, I don't know what to do with this guy. He's great talent, but what position do I put him in? How important is it that you have great assistant coaches that can get the most out of these guys who may not fit the typical NFL mold?
Well, I think that's where that dialogue leading up to the draft is really important. And I can't tell you how many players we talk about, and the question, once the scouts get through the process and they start to set the draft board, then, and this is true probably for all 32 clubs, then the coaches come in and present their reports. And really the question that the GMs are asking of the coaches is, how does this guy fit us? And the answer is, there's some guys that don't fit you. And there's 2-gap defenses, there's 1-gap defenses, there's run and shoot on offense, and there's, you know, gap scheme run attack. So you want to take guys that fit what you do. And I think that's where we had some really productive conversations amongst our coaching staff. And then ultimately, Andrew picks the guy, and it's the coaches. It's our job to develop them. But we felt really strong about all the guys that we targeted. We had really good conversation about how they fit us, because I do think that's an important piece.
Sheldon Richardson's a name that's obviously come up a lot since you guys cut him. He is still out there. You guys have added some defensive tackles recently, a couple of veterans in the last couple of days. Obviously, you drafted Tommy Togiai. Is Sheldon Richardson still on the radar if things can be worked out?
Yeah, I'd definitely say he's on our radar, and I'm hopeful. I know Andrew and his agent have kept an open dialogue. Sheldon knows how I feel about him, really good football player, and if it can work out, it'll work out. But, you know, I know it's something that he's going to talk about and think about and work with his agent on. But from our end, we'd be thrilled to bring him back.
What do you make of the addition of Clowney? I don't think I've asked you yet. I didn't figure anything out there. Does it get you excited? Just think about what that defensive line could be.
Yeah, you know, Clowney's a guy that we identified. And, again, there's a scheme fit there. I think he's a disruptive football player. That's the word that comes to mind. So that's in the run in the pass. I think he's shown over the course of time to defeat blocks. You can line him up inside. There's times down there in Houston where they had him standing over the center and rushing the center. So he's a versatile player. He's very long, which I think obviously you guys can imagine length helps you when you're dealing with some of the horizontal games that you're going to see from some of these rush attacks. So I think he adds a piece for us, and I know he's excited. We spent some time with him when he came up here, and he's really excited about it.
Coach, our program director, I don't know if you know him well or at all, Andy Roth.
I don't know anybody. We haven't met in person.
Yeah.
I mean, we got at some point to do this in person, guys.
That would be nice. The reason I bring him up is because he is a Penn grad, same as you, and his daughter is going, you know, is deciding what college to go to, and one of the schools she's considering is Penn. If you were to, you know, do a hype video or try to talk someone into going to Penn, what would your pitch be?
It's the southernmost Ivy. I mean, you can't
go wrong. That
says
it all, right?
Yeah, so you're going to be in the 70s in May. No, I mean, it's a great – I'm sure the schools she's looking at are great. You know, I love the city of Philadelphia, so it's right – it's in a beautiful West Philadelphia location.
Right.
Doesn't get as historic as Penn, and there's some great sites to be seen. I mean, you can also go – there's some of these Ivy League schools are in the middle of nowhere, so I like that we're in a major city.
I know your dad worked for the Sixers, of course, but were the Sixers like the team you were most into as a kid, or was it the Eagles? Was it the Phillies? Or was it the Flyers? What was it?
It was all of them. I mean, if you're growing up, I mean, for me, the 93 Phillies, which went to the World Series, not going to mention how it ended, but that's the team where I could rattle off the batting order right now. I could probably give you the batting stance for all of them as well, but that
you
wouldn't work
it.
On the radio. but yeah, those were my teams. I mean, the Reggie White, Buddy Ryan Eagles for sure. So some really, that's where I never ever lose sight of fandom. I know what it's like to be a fan of your favorite sports team. So that's why my job and what I do, I take it so seriously, because I know there's a lot of people that care about this.
All right, Cleveland fans visiting Philadelphia. You know, everybody talks about Geno's and Pat's, but I feel like everybody from Philly has their own favorite cheesesteak place. If, you know, one of your fans, one of these fans here in Cleveland is going to Philly, where should they go for a cheesesteak?
I'm going to send them to D'Alessandro's. That's over near Roxborough. That's where I'm sending them. But not to the tourist traps.
People that are from there, they know which place is touristy. Good, D'Alessandro's. That's where we'll have to go. Coach, thank you so much for taking the time, as always. We look forward to seeing you. Maybe we can actually go to training camp this year. We'll see. Who knows what it's going to be like. But one of these days, we really appreciate the time. Keep up the great work. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, All right, Coach. Gentlemen. Have a great day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh,